what we're supposed to be doing today, and then just some internal things. The apologies that we are having today here is Mem Nkomo is not here. It looks like Gekana is also apologized, and Nis has apologized. And then that means we are awaiting Honorable Tambuza. And then Honorable Kenya. Okay. Honorable members, that is met.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me welcome everyone as well. But I wanted to propose, since the minister is here, and since the minister now is our minister, I wanted to propose that the minister clarifies this committee about the naturalization of the Gupta family, and that comes from the ANC. Thank you.
Okay. We're still an apologist.
Yeah. So probably I'll just proceed. Let's just handle that one, and then is it supported? Honorable Rafiti, Honorable Mukali.
Good morning, all. Yeah, seeing that our minister is here, and this thing has been a pain. I think really it will be very important that the minister really clarifies us, and just to say that even last week the DG also, he had to repeat, I think it was thrice, about the naturalization, but we want to hear from the minister. I'm supporting the Honorable Kumeda about that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I thought you were still on the apology. So, yeah. So, now, we are being ambushed by the ANC. But now we are being ambushed by the ANC, because most of the time when you raise some issues, if you don't belong to the ANC, you are being told, let us follow the agenda. Let us follow the agenda. So now we are still on apologies, and then we are still engaging on apologies. Now we are told that let us amend the agenda. It's fine, Chair. We'll be very, very, very happy if you can entertain that. And hopefully that you are not going to be told that there's no time to engage with the department, there's no time to engage with IEC, there's no time to engage with GPW, because it's raised by the ANC now.
Honorable Hussein.
Chair, I completely support it. I just wonder why the ANC hasn't done this before. When we asked for the minister to be here, they did everything possible to prevent the minister from being there, but today they pull a rabbit out of the hat, which that we support the rabbit. I would also like to request, Chair, that while the minister has the opportunity, I would really like to hear what his response is to the judgment of the High Court, where the court ruled that he had lied and breached the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So while he's got the opportunity, I'd really like to hear what his response to that letter is. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. It looks like there is an acceptance that can we then indicate more or less how much time should we allow for that, so that we don't cross lines of Honorable Mkali? Can we allow 45 minutes, 30 minutes to 45 minutes? You ask questions? Okay, fine. I think now is that the apologies, I did complete that. And then from the department, of course, then you've got the minister, the brand new minister is here.
Brand new?
Yeah.
Nice.
We are Rada or are we Rada? If you are, don't you?
Not brand new.
Then we've got the DG, I mean the deputy minister is here, Fatima is here, and then the DG is here, Tulan Mavuso DDG is here, and then Chief Financial Officer Gordon is here, and then Acting Deputy Director General Thomas Igama is here, and then DDG Jackson McKay is here, DDG Nkidi Mohobogo is here. And then we have got the director, Ms. Sose, is here. And then we have got Riaz Musa, our own, is here. And then from the Electoral Commission, I've seen the chairperson, Woodland, is here. And then Mr. Telane Terry is here. And then the chief electoral officer, Sai, who was representing them outside the country the other week, is here today. I've seen him. I can identify him. Uh-huh. And then Mr. Mapanga Ibozolana from the IEC is here. And then we've got Esther De Vest is here. At least the gender issue has been dented a little bit. And then from the government printing works, we have got Tandi Moyo. She's here. And then you have got the Chief Financial Officer, who Ms. Mayor is here. Yeah, I think it's the GPW has transformed seriously. No men in the delegation. That is the 100% transformation.
Women empowerment.
Men have been dealt a blow in GPW. Okay, I think that is where we are now. Honorable members, I think I just need to welcome the minister after a stint in the finance, and then he's back and to assist us in the process. And we welcome, and then we hope that you will hit the ground running, because there has been a little bit of a stoppage of our work because of the change of the executive. It actually hampered. I think it should reflect in the third quarter performances. If you read it properly, you can read that those changes, and then brought a little bit of instability in terms of service delivery. But we hope that you are not that much new in the portfolio, as Mkhalipe said. You should be able to hit the ground running and then get us again back on track and see that we perform welcome. And I hope you wish to be given a minute as well to say something to the old committee that you used to entertain before. The stage is yours.
Thank you very much. Thank you, honorable members. Indeed, it's a pleasure to be back. It is a familiar territory, and so I'm sure I share your sentiment that we will hit the ground running. One would have hoped for a different reintroduction, but nonetheless, I think it's important for the committee to exercise its responsibility to hold the executive accountable. We appreciate the opportunity. The department remains focused on the five priorities we had set as part of the MTSF 2014 to 2019, in terms of which we sought to improve, through leadership interventions, front office service. I think one, as soon as the announcement was made last week, Tuesday, one was flooded with requests for assistance from all sorts of South Africans through social media, emails, and all sorts of communication mechanisms. We appreciate the that in spite of the fact that we have a Home Affairs contact center and we have the hotline, South Africans still try to access us through all communication mechanisms. We also intended during the course of this medium-term strategic framework to also complete the modernization program. But as we have always said, you can never complete the modernization program. It's an ongoing task. You keep shifting the milestones so that at each term you set new milestones, you achieve them, and you set new ones. We have asked the question before, what would a young child born this year expect to find? What type of service would they expect to find 16 years from today? And that's the question we are trying to answer, to live in the future, basically. The third time priority we had set ourselves is the completion of the international migration reform process. And I think in that regard, the adoption of the white paper in 2016 set us along a new path in terms of our policy and legislation. It ushers in a new era in South Africa, and we hope we will be able from this year to start introducing comprehensive legislative reforms in terms of civic service, immigration, international migration, refugee policies, and others. We also sought to improve 6 commercial ports of entry, to overhaul them completely, Bate Bridge being the priority, and Libombo, and we hope to take that process forward extensively this year, and we hoped to complete the process of establishing the Border Management Authority. The portfolio committee, the matter is now before the NCOP. And so the report that the different entities, the department, the GPW and IEC will present, will focus on what we're able to achieve in the third quarter of this financial year. I think that we still remain convinced that we can achieve more KPIs this year than we did in the previous year, and that we will maintain a clean financial audit, at least unqualified. We will continue on the path of upgrading and developing our financial management as the department. But the details of the report will be provided by the Director General. On the 2 questions, Honorable Chair, that have been asked, let me start with the second one, because the matter is sub judice, but I would like to make a few comments. In the first instance, there is absolutely no weight in the judgment by on fireplate, which says the minister lied under oath and violated, breached the constitution. No such. Doesn't exist. So the honorable member who raised the question obviously misled the House on the 21st of February, which is a matter I intend taking up with the speaker as the presiding officer. Secondly, the honorable member who raised the issue as a lawyer should have known that the matter is appealed. And once it is appealed, all the entire judgment is therefore suspended, cannot be applied. The only judgment that is being applied is the one issued in December, if I'm not mistaken, November or December, in December, that said whilst the matter is being appealed, but the fireplate must operate. So that is the only one that is currently in operation, and the department was supposed to start operating in February. There are service calls that Fireblade is supposed to make to the National Revenue Fund so that the operation can commence. So the entire issue of that judgment is going to be appealed on the basis or on certain basis that we have put forward. We believe that the judgment completely neglected the facts before the court, and so that was the reason why it was appealed. And it's important to note that the decision to appeal the judgment was made by the department whilst I was not Minister of Home Affairs, but I fully support, because I maintain the view that no private family in South Africa must be allowed to operate a port of entry. That's a basic principle. No private family must be allowed to operate a port of entry. Secondly, if the decision were to be taken, it must be subjected to competitive bidding. And it was not, and this was not. And there are other reasons which I don't wish to enter into. I thought it necessary to establish those two principles, because for anybody to decide, if the government were to say, because the facility at which they operate is a government facility, if government were to decide, and it may not be a bad thing in principle to have a VIP terminal, we could agree to it. If we were to, I'm not saying that we are agreeing, I'm not even raising the issue right now, but I'm saying were it to be agreed to, the decision having been so taken must be subjected to competitive bidding, so that nobody walks into a government facility, establish a business, a private business, and then turn around to force government to agree to that private business. Government has laws, and those laws need to be respected. And one of those laws provides for that unique competitive bidding, so that there is no business that is simply handed over to a single individual without being subjected to competitive bidding. So the my answer to the question, what do I say about the judgment, I'm saying that the judgment is being appealed. We believe it was flawed. Therefore, all of the judgment is suspended. But secondly, that nowhere in the judgment that did the judge say the minister has lied under oath and breached the constitution. We are, secondly, Honorable Chair, we are asked by the Honorable Kumede to comment on the question of the naturalization of the Guptas, which, as you have correctly said, the DG has appeared before the committee twice on it and provided extensive explanations of the process. We begin by clarifying who are the people we are referring to. We are referring to five people specifically. We are referring to Mrs. Anguri Gupta, who got her permanent residence in 2003 and applied for naturalization in 2013. It's important to indicate that they got their permanent residence during the third administration. During the third administration in 2003. She got it in 2003. She applied for naturalization in 2013, 5 years later. And she, 10 years later, sorry. And it was rejected because she had not complied with the provisions of the Immigration Act, which required that she should be of both the immigration and the civic affairs, I mean civic citizenship act, which required that you need not to be out of the country for a stipulated period of time. So she had not complied with that, although she had qualified to apply, but because she did not comply with the provisions of those acts, it was rejected. Secondly, we are referring to Mr. Ajay Gupta, who got his permanent residence in 2008 and applied for naturalization in 2013. When he applied for naturalization, he had complied with all the provisions of the legislation existing. But his application was initially rejected on the basis that other family members, because they applied as a family. So in applying as a family, they could not be treated individually. So even those who qualified would not have been granted permanent citizenship if there were some who had not qualified. Had all of them qualified, they would all have been granted a citizenship at first instance. But he was rejected because other family members did not meet the requirements. Mr. Shivani Gupta got PR in 2012. And applied for naturalization in 2013, which was rejected because she had not completed 5 years. Mr. Kamal Singala got permanent residence in 2008 and applied for naturalization in 2013, and he had complied but was also rejected because other family members had not qualified. Mr. Surya Singala got permanent residence in 2008 and applied for naturalization in 2013, and he was rejected due to other family members not complying. So out of the three, out of the five, three qualified and two had not complied with the provisions of existing legislation. Now, it's important to set that process out because It provides basis for saying that there was no malicious action on the part of the department in taking the decisions it took, and there was no special interest on the part of the department in taking the decisions that it took. The legislation provides for that should a person apply for any document, the application is to the department, not to the minister's office. What issues come before the minister? It's when a person is appealing a decision, when a person is not happy with a service, like as I say, since my return to Home Affairs and even during my sojourn at National Treasury, I continued receiving a lot of requests for assistance and I referred them to the Department of Home Affairs. But the other basis on which a matter serves before the minister is if a person has applied and their application is now approved, but the implementation of that decision of the approval requires minister's consent, and that is in the case of naturalization. Beyond that, the issues don't serve before the minister. Now, what happens when a person appeals to the minister? The minister, because the minister doesn't have the capacity in their office, and they are not empowered by the law to run administration. The minister then takes the file, the appeal as it comes, and forwards it all together to the department and says, can you look at this appeal and advise me whether there is any basis either to uphold the decision you initially made or, as the applicant requests, to overturn the decision you had made? Can you consider the facts if there are any new facts being provided? Now, it's important to establish that principle and never to compromise it, because the minister would not have been aware of the documents that were submitted at the point the person first made the application. So I will not, and I don't have the capacity in my office to sit as an appeals body for all applicants. So in referring this to the department then looks at all the documents initially submitted, the reasons for the rejection, and the documents submitted on appeal, and decides whether the new information provided warrants the overturning of the initial decision. If not, the department will submit a memo to the minister requesting that the minister upholds the initial decision. And there are many such cases that serve before the minister in that regard. Just as there are many cases also where the department would say to the minister, on the basis of new evidence, we propose, minister, that we overturn our initial decision and we now take a new decision. So having established those principles, this was no different from the other decisions or the other matters that would have served before the minister, and therefore there was absolutely no need for any special interest in the case. There are many other applications which were approved during the same year, and the reports to that effect have been accordingly submitted. The DG has considered, acknowledged that the department, even prior to 2015, 2014, 2013, 2012, I think going back, I think to 2009 or 10, the department had not submitted the reports to Parliament of people naturalized, so that Parliament would be aware as required by the law, and that's an administrative issue. So there were many other cases that were not dealt with, and at that time we were not dealing with we had not yet decided to conduct naturalization ceremonies which lift the veil of secrecy to the naturalization of new South Africans and makes them to take an oath of allegiance to the country and makes their naturalization to be a public matter. Now we do that, and there are two such pending, one in Gauteng, another one in KZN. As I say, any application is attended to on the basis of existing legislation, and the appeals are handled also on the basis of existing legislation. Legislation provides for safeguards. I will talk to others later, but it says, should a person apply, and it applies not only to those who are applying for naturalization, it also applies to people who are applying for other documents, refugee status and others. Should the department reject a person's application and they appeal to the department and we still uphold the rejection, an applicant can approach the court. And that has happened in many instances. There have been many cases also where, even though the department's case is strong, but because we have not responded timely to people's applications, they then approach the court and force the court and ask the courts to force the department to take a decision on their applications. The department cannot delay an application. It must process it. And you cannot reject, you cannot refuse to process an application on the basis that we think in future you may be accused of committing a crime or so. But neither should the department act arbitrarily in terms of all applications submitted before it. It needs to consider all of them on the basis of their merit and take a decision. And that has been the case of many rulings which have been made against the department where applicants have sought relief from the court. any appeal to the minister, as I have said, is forwarded to the department as it is. Now, there are three options once a person appeals a department's application. The first option for the department is that the department would say, give us additional information to consider your appeal if it is not satisfied with the information provided before it. Secondly, the department would say, we uphold, Minister, we recommend that we uphold our initial decision. Thirdly, the department could say, we recommend that we overturn our initial decision given the new facts that have now been placed before us. Now, the department would then look at all the reasons for the appeal and make a recommendation to the minister in that regard. But any appeal is handled between the department and the applicant. The minister does not get involved in any way whatsoever. The appeal is handled, I repeat, the appeal is handled between the department and the applicant. And that's why the department doesn't come back to the minister to say, Minister, can you ask the applicant to submit additional information? It talks to the applicant directly so that the matter is concluded between them, and they only report to the minister once, in the case of naturalization, a decision has been taken to approve, to overturn the decision, and the minister must now do what he is required in terms of the legislation as the executive authority of the department. And that is done through a memo. So it's not a private discussion between the DG and the minister. It's done through the memo so that all the issues are on record and are subject to review. There are two safeguards in the law. There are two safeguards, and they are very critical. I think the committee must bear in mind those safeguards. The first safeguard is that once a person is found guilty of a crime in future, the department can and must withdraw the PR or citizenship. Once a person is found guilty of a crime in a court of law, now, the department, as I have said earlier, cannot, does not, must not act arbitrarily in any matter so that we are safe. And that's why people have asked us before to withdraw the permanent, the citizenship of Janus Walus. We waited until his appeal was heard and rejected. We've been asked to withdraw the citizenship of Rodovan Kresha. We've been asked to withdraw the citizenship of Paul O'Sullivan. We've been asked to withdraw the citizenship of... But let me cite those three whom I remember off my head. Mm-hmm. And we said in each case that much as we may feel offended by what they would have done, or much as the people who are making such requests to us may feel they are bases on their in terms of their own opinion, we need to act in terms of the law and be guided in a manner that will ensure that the matter is resolved properly. That's the first. That's the first safeguard. The second one is that once a person is granted South African citizenship, and should the country of origin not recognize dual citizenship, we now must ask the person to renounce the original citizenship, to take up South African citizenship. We don't make the decision for you. And that's why in this case, even when the department had recommended that we overturn the initial rejection, based on the facts that were submitted to us, facts which I am advised the committee is verifying, we then put it to them. Because if there was a malicious intention on our part to grant them South African citizenship, regardless of what the law says, if there was any special interest, we would simply have ignored the law and granted them citizenship. We did not. We said, we have considered your case, we have been provided reasons which we think are strong enough, we now put it to you to renounce your Indian citizenship, which two of the three members refused to do, on the basis of which we therefore did not grant them South African citizenship. So as it stands, Mr. Ajay Gupta and Mr. Mr. Ajay Gupta is not a South African citizenship. He refused to accept to denounce Indian citizenship. We need to also stress that due to non-renunciation of Indian citizenship, Mr. Atul Gupta also has not received South African citizenship. So you are talking about two people who are not South African citizens, and the department has not moved mountains for them. We said this is what the law says, and the matters will remain as stated in the law. You are not South African citizenship. Citizens, if you refuse to renounce your Indian citizenship. So, in my opinion, Honorable Chair, the matters that the committee has asked to know about have been clarified. Have been clarified, and we are willing to take any further questions. So, Mr. Atul, Mr. Ajay are not South African citizens. Should they, as it happens with any naturalized South African, should they in any court of law be found to have committed crimes in South Africa, be found guilty, the department will act accordingly and withdraw South African permanent residency to them, or those who may be citizens withdraw South African citizenship But that happens after they serve their sentence, because you don't want people to then escape the country and turn around to say to you that we are not South African citizens and therefore you have no jurisdiction over us. And that's why, even in the case of Mr. Yanus Walus, much as he was found guilty back in 1993, we only took the decision on his citizenship in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, in 2016. Because prior to that, we did not want to then take away his citizenship. And then when he applies for parole, he says, anyway, release me to go home, because anyway, I'm a Polish citizen and not a South African citizen. We allow the processes to run their course, and then once that has happened, we take the decision. Now, the question that would arise relates to two issues I wish to comment on. The first one is the letter that was published in one newspaper, which to my surprise, because at the first time when I was asked about the letter, I said I don't recall this letter. We then checked with the Director General and found that the dates that were on the letter that was published had been tampered with. And I'm told by the DG that an honorable member did concede that the letter originated from their own political party, the tampered letter, because the original letter from the department did not have the dates that were written on that letter that was published. And it's quite dishonest to do that. It puts the department into disrepute and makes the work we do to be discredited. And it is unfortunate because we deal with sensitive issues. The second issue I wish to comment on is whether we should at the time have known that the said individuals could or would be charged for criminal conduct in 2018, and then we should have denied them South African citizenship. But it would be again difficult for the department to do so. In the same manner that when Janusz Walus was granted South African citizenship, we didn't know he was coming here to commit a heinous crime against the people of South Africa. In the same manner that when Radovan Krecha was granted South African permanent residency, he was going later to be arrested for criminal conduct. In the same manner that the banks back then, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange back then, the South African, the Natal Cricket Committee back then, and even the political parties, premiers of various provinces and leaders of political parties back then did not know and therefore went to these individuals to seek funding, and as facts still appear, a lot of other state-owned companies, including development finance institutions, provided them with funding for some of their projects. They did not know, and you can't say to them that they should have known back then what was going to happen in the future. I think it's necessary that at all times the department, and I'm not speaking for all others, I'm speaking for the Department of Home Affairs, at all times the department must act on the basis of facts that are before it and nothing else that is not serving before it. And the department has the right, when new facts arise, to review its initial decisions. In this case, that is why almost every month the Minister of Home Affairs signs submissions withdrawing permits, withdrawing citizenship to individuals who may have been granted in the such permits in the past, but once they have been convicted of crimes, they then the department would submit that to the minister in a memo with their names and their permit numbers and says, "Minister, the following individuals have been convicted of crimes. We recommend that you you withdraw their citizenship." As soon as they finish serving their terms, they are going to be deported back to the countries of origin. Thank you, Chair.
Now, thank you very much for that particular brief, and I hope that it will assist the committee to get to some end game of this particular matter. Of course, I heard you bringing the name of Atul, but for the current situation, he is not under consideration. And of course is that for the furore that we are having in the country, this group of five that we're speaking about is only Ajay that is involved in the rest. Yeah. And the others, the four, are just innocent dependents of Ajay. A grandmother, wife, and two children, and something like that, who are not actually being said to be creating problems. I just wanted this to be a lot more clear that we are speaking. And of course is that, honorable members, all of us, I think, we have taken an oath and pledged to uphold the Constitution and all its laws. And therefore, when we consider matters at any given time, the constitutionality and the legality of the matters as we raise them, and then they should reign supreme to honorable members. And always what happens outside from people on the street, they don't follow protocol, they don't follow laws, they are just activists. And then, so, but ourselves, then we are a little bit different, because we told the Chief Justice that would uphold the Constitution and the laws of the country. And then where the law prescribes, then we should ensure that it is upheld. Honorable members, I think the minister has spoken, and then are there questions that should be leveled to the minister, so that at least around the 11 o'clock, then we should be entertaining the department's presentation on the second and third court. The floor is open. Honorable Hussein wants to, then Honorable Raput, and then comes Honorable Mkhalipi, in that order.
Chair, thank you very much. I just want to make a comment, Chair, with regards to your appeal about upholding the Constitution. And let me just say that as far as I'm concerned, we are definitely committed to doing that. And I speak on behalf of who I represent here. I'm not sure I can say the same thing about you and the party you represent. Given the opportunities you've had in Parliament to hold your own MPs and leaders accountable. So, but we'll have that debate on another day. So you and I should not be the one to be preaching about upholding the Constitution when you yourself fail to do so in the
other. Sorry, I think I just opened the floor for you to ask questions to the minister.
I want to make, give me the chance. You made a comment, you must be prepared to take the heat for it too.
Okay, let me just hear Honorable Kumar.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I am representing the ANC. The chairperson is representing the speaker in this meeting. Let us clarify that. And Honorable Hussein, you are a lawyer. You should be knowing this even better. Thank you.
Honorable Hussein, and then can you proceed?
Chair, let me move on.
Chair, can I get a clarity on what Honorable Kuber is saying? Is the speaker not the ANC?
No. Honorable Hussein, can you proceed?
Well, she crossed the floor.
Chair, I just want to deal with the second part, my second question that I put to the minister first, where he says that the judge did not say that the minister violated the Constitution. I've got a copy of the judgment. I'm going to give it to you. In fact, I will read out just one sentence for you, where it says in the judgment, the minister has committed a breach of the Constitution so serious that I could characterize it as a violation. I'm quoting from there. It also says, the minister deliberately told untruths under oath. Now, I said lies, so untruths is the opposite. I will accept that. But those are the two lines that are quoted from the Constitution. But I'll leave that matter there. And let me come back to the issue of the early naturalization process. And I want to appreciate the fact that the minister is here to answer this question. I'm disappointed that he didn't come when we wanted him to come, but I appreciate the fact that he's here now, and we must use the opportunity to interact with him and be able to put some questions to him. So the first question I want to raise with the minister is this, Chair, is that when the DG explained last week, you know, we've received bundles and bundles of documents on this Gupta matter, the early naturalization process. And one of the things that the DG explained that, and we discovered, that not all of the documentation that was submitted was actually verified before the naturalization process was approved by the minister. There were a number of documents that we were supplied, which the DG explained. I argued that these documents were dated long after the application was approved. And the DG, if I recall correctly, said, well, and I think he used the example of Coca-Cola to say, we know who these people are, we didn't have to go and verify them, and so on. So the question I want to ask the minister is that, Is he satisfied on this whole process of early naturalization that when people write and submit an appeal to the minister and they say, I have invested so many billions, I employ so many people, in fact, even the motivation that the Guptas had made to the minister on the actual number of people that they employ was incorrect when the department checked afterwards. To their benefit, it was actually more. But it does bring me to the point, to the question that I want to put to the minister, is that are you satisfied that before you even grant these early naturalization applications or the appeals, that the department actually doesn't go and verify the motivation that they submit? There isn't a process that you go and look into the thing completely to satisfy yourself. And I'd like to hear what the minister's thoughts are on that, and granted that some of that information might not have been verified, but I don't think that that's actually proper. It means that anybody could make a very fanciful motivation to the minister in their appeal, and just on the basis of the papers before him, we might be able to approve it, and then it might be an error. Chair, the second question that I want to raise with the minister, and I understand the argument that he makes about, the matter must go to court first, and the person must be found guilty, and all of that, before you can even consider the revoking their citizenship. So the question I want to put to the minister is that in the Act itself, there is a provision there that says very clearly that the person who applies for that citizenship, he or she must be of good character. And so I'd like to hear from the minister whether he's of the opinion that those members of the Gupta family who you granted citizenship to, do you believe that they are of good character? The last question, Chair, I want to ask the minister, and there is obviously the public perception, and here's the opportunity for you to put that to rest. The public perception is that you colluded with the Gupta family to make it as easy as possible for them to get early naturalization. Because there is already the perception there that you are great friends with the Gupta family, and you choose your friends. I don't think there's any law against that. And that they used their influence over you to get early naturalization. So the question I'd like to ask is that, did you at any stage have any private discussions with any member of the Gupta family around the early naturalization process, or did you meet with any one of them regarding this matter during that time that the application was before you for consideration? Thank you, Chair. Those are the only three questions I have.
Thank you very much. Honorable
Rakuji. Yeah, Minister, thank you very much for the charity that you have given us. So, Minister, it means that Mama Gupta and Kamal Singala and Surasi Singala, they are the one who are South Africans. That is one thing that I wanted to hear from you. And on the issue of that falsified letter, the doctored letter, are you making any investigation in that relation? Because it means that we are not protected. It's scary. It's very, very scary. If people can really, really falsify a letter and run to the media, so we are not protected. Is anyone that you think have really falsified that letter? So we want to know, Minister, because we can see that people are so anxious, they want power, at all angles, and it's very scary. It's very scary. Where is our protection? We are not protected. If we are going to work with crooks in our offices, I think that person is a crook of no description who did that. And in our culture we say umthakathi, umloyi. It's scary. I'm saying that whoever did that is a witch of no description. I thank you.
Honorable Khalifi.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to entertain any pettiness regarding this matter because I'm not doing any favor any person to be here in this committee. So I'll just simply go straight to the minister to ask some questions regarding this matter. Chairperson. Minister, thank you very much that you ran away as Home Affairs Minister. And then now we are back here at Home Affairs. We would like to thank you for allowing that process to come back to this committee. Chair, first of all, I just want to ask the minister if he is aware that the chair of chairs in parliament, Honorable Frolic, have written to all committees regarding the emails from Gupta's. There were series of emails that were making rounds in South Africa, and Frolic as the chair issuing instructions to say that all committees that have those emails with their departments, they must establish the inquiry. It is with that understanding that the committee, when you're a Minister of Finance, we have been saying, especially as opposition party, to say that we must come before this committee and clarify some of the issues regarding this issue of Gupta's. This is not the only item. There are so many items.
Sorry, just a second, Honorable Mkhali. I think we must remove misrepresentation of facts so that we are not having responses on things that are not correct. The letter of Frolic, I think it is being misrepresented. I'm having the letter here in front of me now. It's only two paragraphs on it, written to the chair of the committee. I just wanted to read it so that we interpret it correctly. The letter says, I'm sure that you are aware of numerous allegations of state capture that have appeared in the media in recent weeks. Statement. Some of these allegations involve the former Minister of Home Affairs in the granting of citizenship to non-South Africans. Then I would like to request that your committee investigate the allegations within parameters of the rules and report any findings where applicable to the National Assembly as a matter of urgency. We have got a clear-cut direction on the matter relating to granting of citizenship to non-South Africans, and we should investigate that and report in terms of our rules. There is no inquiry that is being called here, and there is no calling of any other investigation. Ours is straightforward in relation to the granting of citizenship to non-South Africans. That's what the letter in front of me is from Frolic. So I just wanted to make sure that we know that the issue of an inquiry, it is something that just comes out of ourselves, and the attempt to expand the investigations that we are doing outside the granting of citizenship, it is our wishes.
Chair, can I continue?
Thank you very much. Proceed.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask the minister to check with the minister if he is aware of that letter that is from Frolic. And then we have been raising this matter with this committee, and members of the ANC have been blocking this subject for all the time. Even last week when the DG was there. Correctly so, minister, we are saying that the department was supposed to play its role. That is the reason why we have called the department to come and clarify it. And last week the department came for the second time, because there were documents that we requested as committee, because we believe that those documents assisted you and the department to grant this corrupt family the early naturalization. So when the DG was presenting those documents, I want to put on record, as we also clarified when you were speaking just now, you said there was no co-relationship between you and the family. It was between the department and the family through the memo. If I remember very correctly, Chair, the DG said last week, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, DG, you said last week that communication was between the family and the minister.
No,
yeah.
No, let me correct it. Maybe we don't understand.
I said, no, DG.
Oh,
yeah.
No, DG. Just keep calm. The politicians are here, then they will intervene. If we fail, then we'll call upon you accordingly.
DG, you said after all processes that were followed, and you must also have to clarify that it is the family who wrote straight to the minister to be granted this early naturalization. Right? Going forward, Chair. So this matter, according to the DG or the department, Mr. Tlatwai, I don't know if he's still with the department or not, as a DG, was acting on behalf of the DG of the department. And according to the records, it says that he denied Gupta's, the South African citizenship, stating that they did not comply with the requirements in terms of Section 5.1 of the South African Act 2010. And then the letter, dated 22 January 2015, he advised the family to apply again in December 2015. So I think this is the letter that me and you, we are fighting over. Because I said last week, I still stand by that letter that we received from our whistleblower. That's why today I'm called a witchcraft in this committee. Nevertheless, I don't care. Because I'm representing the people here. I'm not representing any people who have notions.
Honorable Mkhalibi, I think I would have intervened if that was the case.
You didn't. No, and I don't need your intervention, Chair.
No, Honorable Mkhalibi. Don't.
Sorry?
No. No, just a second.
Why what?
No, honourable members.
Because we discussed this matter, you are not even here.
Honourable members, order.
It's fraud. How do you know it's fraud?
Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister.
Deputy Minister, please.
Honourable members, because what I heard is that Honourable Rafudi said, if they are waiting in the offices with somebody who can falsify the document of Home Affairs, that person is dangerous.
But Chair, that matter is still under discussion. So Honorable Rapute can't even understand.
What I'm intervening is that to interpret that she was referring to you. Because surely you don't have the capacity of going to Home Affairs and change documents on the computer. You just don't have that. So I just want to say, I would have intervened if she attacked you, but I heard it properly. She was actually saying to the minister that if in the Department of Home Affairs they are having this kind of officials who can falsify, then they are dangerous. You may proceed. That has been corrected.
Chair, this matter was intensively discussed last week about the letter itself.
Yes.
So now...
Proceed, please.
Okay. Okay. I'm proceeding, Chair. Then the minister, in May 2015, then he wrote to the Guptas, and he said the following: I have the pleasure in informing you that by virtue of powers vested in me under Section 5.9A in terms of South African Citizenship Amendment Act of 2010. To waive the residential requirements in regards to your application to naturalization and grant you early naturalization. So now, the reason why we wanted the minister to come and clarify, he used the act to grant the special naturalization to Kotas. Now the minister is saying today, he did that after he followed some procedures and the department satisfied itself about those things. Right? So we are saying the department must come with that evidence, because the department is telling us that these criminals are businessmen in South Africa. Okay, well, come with documents, DG, to support your argument that these foreign criminals from India are businessmen. Right? The DG came with unverified documents. I even asked the DG last week, but now, you are saying in front of this committee, these documents are unverified. I even said it can't even take an accountant to see what is this is a copy and paste. Minister, out of 25 schools, that these criminals are claiming that they've supported those schools. In all of those lists, it's same thing. School number one, I provided lunch of 20,000 rand. School number two, I provided lunch of 20,000, all the list of 25. Because we were given the documents before the meeting of last week, Chair, we took those documents. I'm very happy that it was not even said by EFF on the NPA. Even the ANC member, unfortunately, she's not even here. The secretary of the committee gave us those documents. We took our time to go and verify if those schools are existing. There are 11 numbers instead of 10 cell phone numbers. There's no landlines. There's no one who's picking it up when you phoned. And then we said, okay, because the DG is coming in front of the committee, but we felt that the person who must come in front of the committee is the minister itself to come and explain why did he grant these people. Right? But your ANC colleagues, they said, no, the DG must answer. We exposed the DG to say, but you didn't do your work. I even make a simple example, minister. You have children yourself. One school, that Gupta is claiming that they pay.
Honorable Mkhalibi, can you assist us to ask the question?
Yes, I'm going there.
Because to. Otherwise, then we're going to finish the whole day.
Chair, please.
If you do a presentation.
No, I'm not doing a presentation, but how can you expect me just to cut across to the question without giving a background? Because we are not going to do justice to this minister, because he must answer us. He must clarify. He must have a background and have an understanding why, where we come from. And I'm going to fight with you. And I came to this committee today to say I don't want to fight with you today.
No, I have my shambo.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, minister, I'm saying that in one of the documents, they say the 54 pairs of shoes costed 10,000 rand. I put it to the DG. Put to all here, your parents. We buy shoes for our school kids. A pair of shoes is costing less than 100 rand. For argument's sake, let us say that a pair of shoes is costing 100 rand. 54 pair of shoes, it will cost 5,400. But according to the document that is in front of us, 54,000 rand. So what does that mean? It means this thing was extremely inflated. So, Minister, when you consider to grant them the early naturalization, did you verify with the department if those documents that were submitted to back up their case was authenticity or not? That is the question. Because now, before you came back as a minister, the minister who is now a minister of public service, we wrote to her to say, because there are so new developments in this country regarding this family, we as EFF, we propose that you must revoke this grant of early naturalization. We never get a response from her. So now, there are new developments, Minister. If I'm not mistaken, you were also invited to in front of the Public Enterprise Committee today about the same matter that also involve these people of Kutas. You're supposed to go to them today to answer about their criminal act in South Africa. So you have your reason why you didn't go there. So don't you think it's high time to revoke this citizenship, Minister? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Gumede.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, firstly, I think we've got to be clear who is the accounting officer on these matters. The accounting officer is and remains the DG. And the DG does the technical work and then hands it to the minister, who, if the minister is satisfied, says yay or nay. So according to evidence that has been given, the minister had agreed. We do not find any instance where the minister has overridden decisions of the DG, because in that case he would have to be accountable. And if the DG felt himself under pressure one way or the other, he should tell this committee and we shall make this minister account. That is the first thing that is the first thing that the ANC says. We shall make the minister account if he abused his influence in coming to this decision. Number two, the evidence that has been referred to some of the documents that had been sent as supporting the decision of the department have been submitted to Parliament by a joint decision of this committee. All parties were involved in verifying the authenticity of these documents that are in question. All these documents are a subject of investigation, of verification by Parliament. Thirdly, the issue of good character, whether somebody is a criminal or not, we've got to look at the time when these applications were made. The first was 2003, and then the other was, 2013. And nobody in South Africa could have foreseen that anyone amongst the people that received were considered was of good character or a criminal, and no one has been found guilty of any crime amongst these people. And then if you go to a court of law and then you start saying these things, they say verify. So now we do not have any information to verify that these are so and so is this character or that so and so. But the ANC supports the position that says if someone is found to have committed a criminal act, their citizenship should be revoked. We support that position. If someone tomorrow is found to be guilty or in future, then we shall support and pressurize the minister to say, Minister, this guy, according to the law, you have a right now to rescind their mistake. Their citizenship. And lastly, I think we are satisfied with the reasons given by the department and the minister so far, but we still support the verification of the documents by Parliament. But having said that, Parliament will look at all the documents, and then we'll look at the position of Parliament when that time comes, And therefore, we shall only be then in a position to say what is the next step. Because we all know this family, the Sahara Computers, and a lot of companies have Sahara Computers. We know that this company was in Midrand. It employed people and so forth. So when the decision was made, these investments were there, and then other investments, the position we believe that at that time no one would have reasonably prevented somebody that had those investment credentials from being a citizen, saying that you want employment, you want growth, you want that, and that it is in line with the government principle. And then the issue of social responsibility as well, they complied. So when you tick all the boxes, this family at that time complied. But if they are found guilty of a crime and so forth, we shall be the first to say, now these citizens, as ANC, we think are undesirable as South African citizens. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mato.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks to the Minister for the presentation. Honorable Chair, I think I want to agree with my colleague who said that the Act talks about the good character. And good character, I think the Minister has correctly indicated, because you can't identify a person as a bad character if there is nothing wrong that person has done. So if you become a bad character when you infringe the law and you are proven by the court of law that you have infringed the law, and then you become a bad character, because by the face value you can't say to a person you have got a bad value or a good value. So it is correct to say that when you are identified as by the court to say you have done something wrong, there is a proof. It's when that the department can say that no, this person is not of a good character, it's for the bad character, and then act on that one. I think I agree with the Minister that you can't just act because you look. I think if we abide by the laws of the country, we must focus on the laws, because if we do that, that person I don't like, and then we say bad character, it's not going to work in the country. It can't be an anarchy. Also, what makes one being comfortable is the fact that the people that are being alleged, family members of Gupta, that are alleged to be in the corruption, Ajay, Gupta and Atul, are not the permanent residents. I think that one, all of us, we are saying there is nothing that I think the department at the moment we can say that no, do that or don't do that, because they are not the citizens of the country. So we must understand that, because to me, we're going to close the chapter to say we stop this discussing, because now we know that the people that are being mentioned in the emails and also alleged corruption, they are not part of the people that have been given the naturalization, because they did not, like Ajay, did not want to lose the citizenship of India. So he doesn't qualify. So I don't know why now we keep on debating, because it is clear that these people are not part. Around the issue of the letter that was published, the false letter that was tempered with, I think really I want to support my colleague to say that, Minister, if you haven't made a follow-up to really go deeper on that letter, because it will cause chaos in the country. Mm. If we have got some of the people that can just take a letter, just tamper with the letter and make chaos in the country, and then it is in the public domain, you know, those things. I think that's why today we have got a lot of public perceptions that is being said in this committee, to say there are public perceptions about the minister of that and that. It starts from those particular false letters that are being tempered and then given to the public. I don't think really, as the chair was saying, we all have we all have to be abide by out of office as members of parliament or as civil servants, that we must go out and then tamper with the letters and make chaos in the country. And we talk about perceptions. You know, these things of perceptions, Chair, I don't think these are the things that we have to take a decision based on. As members of parliament, we take decisions based on the facts, because we can't really deal with perceptions, because perceptions will remain perceptions, because they are being created. If you see this letter that was advertised in the newspapers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. I think if we remember the meeting of the 27th of June, I have indicated that surely it's the EFF that can assist the department with the origin of that letter. Then they should be able to trace it back. Up to now, you're not going to find anything. They may attempt to investigate. I don't know where they're going to find it. But I mean, if the EFF then is relying on it, then should be able to say, this letter, we got it from, this is a reliable source to us. Mm. And then the investigation then can go upwards, and then until they find how it has been manufactured. You see? So, otherwise, then we may be stuck. Remember that help is required, because you may find that letter is the original. The one the department say is the original is a falsified one. So it is a two-way thing. Therefore, there is a need that an assistance should be given in order to actually find the origins of that letter. Whether it is true, then we blame the department for falsifying their own letter. If then we find that the department's letter is true, then we find that one to be falsified and deal with the origins of it. So this is a thing that all of us then, I think, we should be able to put our hands together to it. Then the other issue that I just wanted to raise, Honorable Mkhalipi, this family of five, you are branding them to be the criminal family.
Yeah, they are.
And whereas it is only Ajay that is alleged, not the rest. No. What I'm saying is that what do we know? The allegations is about Ajay, Atul, and Rajesh. That's what the allegations is all about, all those three. But now the family we are dealing with, it is only Ajay in this family. Now the rules of parliament then would not allow us to brand people to be criminals when they are not actually alleged on anything. These other four, we can't do that, because when we do that, they don't have an opportunity to respond on their own. That's why there is this rule in our rule book that don't speak bad about people that are outside, because they've got no opportunity of responding. Therefore, that's why I was just simply saying that the other four, for us to brand them to be part of criminals when they've got no allegations, then it may be unfair from members of parliament to do that in terms of their own rules of the nation, of the assembly. We just need to be mindful of that. And then the issue of verification of documents, the technical information. I think last week we agreed that the department has done all what it is supposed to do to assist us. The department closed. Their information is subject for verification, a process to verify. And then we expect that the minister, of course, then should not necessarily be talking to technical information, should be responding to your political questions that you said you wanted. And then ourselves, when the documents have been verified, then we'll come and look at that verification report and convince ourselves whether the documents are genuine or not genuine. And then the issue of shoes that comes time and again. The reports that are actually around here then gives some sort of an average cost of around 300 to 310, 320 a pair. And but I mean that information then we expect that it should be verified in by the process that we have set out. And surely I don't know whether we should expect the minister to say that the cost of shoes, blah blah blah. I don't know. And then but
can I call a point of order?
Let's expect him to answer
Chair,
the
can I call a point of order?
That we have raised.
Chair, order.
Thanks, yes.
Yeah. Chair, order.
Order?
Order.
Where have you seen that?
Chair, I'm calling an order to you.
Okay, let's give the minister to respond to your question.
No, I'm calling an order, Chair, on you.
Okay, raise your order.
Yes.
Raise your order.
Yes, Chair.
But
we
for
are
the
out
time.
Of, yes, we are out of order, Chair. Because now you want to talk on my behalf.
I'm not.
Yes. It's only me who spoke about the shoes here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't.
And we have subjected that.
So just continue this meeting smoothly.
We have subjected that thing of shoes last week to verification. Okay, and then we must wait for the verification report. Then we must not peckle forward and peckle backward.
So don't speak on
Honourable, Honourable Minister, can you take us on?
With your permission, Chair, there are just a few technical questions that I request the DG to respond to, and then I will come back afterwards.
I will reluctantly allow that, because the DG has done everything, has explained everything to us. Completely has explained everything to us. But because you were not there, let me allow him to just explain in your presence. But we'll just simply be repeating what he has told us.
No, thanks, Chair, for that. Chair, I think the first point which I must put it clear is that fortunately I was able to come to this committee before the minister was back. He was not even in Home Affairs. So what I was speaking was the truth, which I'm going to repeat. So I was not covering the minister. I was not doing anything. I was speaking that. I think that is important because people might think that because the minister now is sitting next to me, I will not be saying what I should have said. I was hiding. No, I was not. He was not here. And I did not know again that he will ever come back to me. So I was just speaking the truth. Let me go to it, Chair. Chairperson, on the issue of the information that is incorrect, I think let's correct what is incorrect. Honorable Hussein says, we said the staff members are like this. No, it was not true. Chairperson, you were here when we, let's read the letter, what it says. It says, one of the most notable achievements that we have had and which we certainly consider to be our proudest moment in South Africa thus far is the fact that we have been able to provide permanent and decent work opportunities. Let's get this word together. To more than 7,000 employees. Not 7,000 employees. Yeah. To more than. Yeah. So the report which we brought last week was showing more than 7,000. The only thing which we agreed upon was that let's go and segment that number. Because the number was 16,000. And then we said we'll segment it into per financial year. So that at that time, what was the number of employees? So it can't be correct to say what we submitted was not a true figure. So I wanted to correct that. Okay. No, that's what we said. We said it was incorrect and it was not true. Yeah. What we even said we were lucky that the number was more. So that's what I'm responding
to. May I just clarify? And I accept the point that he is making. My point was the verification of the actual number of the employees.
Yeah. Yes.
That is simply my point. And in the document it suggested 7,000, but when you verified it thereafter, it came to about 15,000.
Okay. Okay. I think, honourable members, let's just allow the DG to.
Yes.
Because you see, the problem is that since we started this thing, we are not reading the documents that are in front of us. At one time, we had a document that talked about 7,500, more than that, and then, but it was actually specific to something so-called Northwest and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, the fact of the matter, it looks like we are not reading the document properly, and we are not collecting the information as we get them. Then we are taking information that of long ago as if it is today's information and miscorrelate them. And let's just allow the DG to complete. But I'm just having that problem that we are not necessarily reading the document properly or just simply paying attention to the document in front of us.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm responding to the question which was asked, not what a person was thinking about. What was asked in this meeting said the numbers are incorrect. That's what I'm responding to. So I'm trying to show that what we said, it was correct and is still correct. Then, Chair, on this issue of verification is on record, Chairperson. We said it is in record in your minutes. When we were here, we said we took the letter. And when we took the letter, because of what we know about the company, hence I made an example about Coca-Cola and said, in the list here of people whom were granted early naturalization, he said, I'm working for Coca-Cola. Did I go and check Coca-Cola? Because Coca-Cola is a listed company. What else more must I do? Even with the Gupta's, Chair, we said so, that Gupta at that time, Oak Bay, was a JSE listed company. When you get listed, there are due diligence which has been taken at that level. And then from there, what else must we do? So we said so, that we have taken that letter, we never hit, the minister was not here. We said that's what we did. Then if you want to verify, wait and check whether those things are not right. If they are not right, then let's argue. That's what we said. And again, Chairperson, when Minister was quoting, what are other reasons which you can disqualify somebody, is misrepresentation. If I submitted information to you, I said this is what I have, I've taken your information, can you misrepresent the facts, then we go back and deal with it. So that is the point I wanted to say with regard to that. Let me come now to this thing of that I said people wrote the letter to the minister. Chairperson, let's go to that. Remember, I don't know that they still have a file. Chairperson, I even said, the protocol, if you read in that act, which is that 59A, it says the minister, let me read it, because I want us to be clear again. It says, notwithstanding anything to contrary contained in subsection 1C, the minister may, under exceptional circumstances, grant this and that. So if that is the case, so people were able to know that if they are not having that, they have to write to the minister. But I said, I receive letters as a DG. When people don't get their approval, if you go to a lot of the ads, it says DG, it says minister. So people are writing to that office. Then that office, I said, I even used the word last week, that a minister does not sit in a little corner and write letters and respond. Then it sent it back to that committee. Let me prove them now. Why the same people who dealt with the issue of when they were saying they are not approving. I said it is a committee. Again, maybe because the members are no longer having that file, now I have it. The adjudication committee, who was sitting there, it was Hlatshwayo who was making the recommendation. Sikhakhane was the one who was approved, was Annette Chache-EE. It was Sikhakhane and the other members. When they received this letter, it was saying the person who prepared the submission is Sikhakhane. the same Sikakane who said initially and said these people do not meet the requirements of the 90 days. When the letter which was addressed to the minister, I even said, letters, minister's office has got what we call a registry. I explained last week. Yeah. That registry gets the documents, and then those people will know, you know, but this one must go to immigration. In fact, they send it to the DG's office. Then DG's office, then we distribute to where it is relevant. Minister didn't even see that letter. He saw the letter when it came back with the submission. Who prepared now the submission when that was gone? It's the Kakane, the same guy, because now he's got the information which now comes back. And we even said here, Chen, on the letter, it says, to submit for minister's consideration representations received from Mr. Gupta and family with regard to granting them early naturalization in terms of Section 59A of the South African Citizenship Act, hereafter referred as the Act. That's what the submission said, and prepared technically by us. So I want to correct now to say, when I said the letter was addressed to the minister, I still repeat now, the letter was addressed to the minister because it's the one who is an appeal authority, but that letter comes back and be prepared by other people. Let's go now to this thing of Ms. Lajwayo. Yes, the letter is annexure D, which now this is the letter. So Lajwayo writes the letter. When was saying that letter, where is a bone of contention? The last paragraph says, however, you and your family will qualify to reapply on 23rd December 2017, provided you do not exceed 90 days outside South Africa for every year in 5 years preceding your new application. So we, it's us, we inform them, because that's what I need to do. If a person is declined anything, I've got a responsibility of transparency to tell an individual that your thing has been declined, but you've got a right to exercise this based on this, on the act. Because if I don't do that, a person gets disadvantaged, or another one gets a good lawyer, goes to court and say, why you did not advise this person that has got a right to do A instead of just sitting without anything? So that's what we said. Then, you know, this thing of head of shoes, that's why we said we can look. I mean, I'm just Googling now. A shoe of a child is here. Is 209, 349, 349.
Where?
You know, it's a normal price which you can get.
Your problem is that you want to go to a better shoe. That thing is 60 rand.
No, no, no. But no.
Order.
I was thinking.
It's up to us to verify.
Yes, it's what I wanted to say, but no, let's not say there is no shoe of this amount. It depends where you go and buy the shoe. But I'm saying that's what we have. And Chair, I repeated again last week. I said it would be wrong for me to take an information which I'm given by Gupta's just because I want it to the music, to the ears of other people. I must go and reduce those prices. I'll be wrong, Chair. I must take what I am given. The thing which we need to do is to verify if they've misled based on that information. That's what we'll deal with it. Otherwise, if I reduce it and then it goes to them, then they will say, no, 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 this document was changed by the DG. So, okay, Chair, I'm saying, as you said, I was just dealing with the technical one so that we can just clear that what I've said in all these interactions with the committee, I'm still saying it today based on the documents we have. Thanks, Chair. I can...
We can't give Minister the whole day to respond.
Yeah.
Can you limit it at least within 15 minutes or even 10 minutes if it's possible? Today we must handle the IEC and the GPW. If there is any presentation that we can sacrifice, it must be the Minister's department. Yes, it can't be IEC and GPW.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks to the honorable members for the robust engagement on this issue. It's necessary that the committee, as I said at the introduction, that the committee should engage with us robustly. It's necessary also that one starts with rejecting completely the notion that the ANC doesn't stand for the Constitution. The allegation is made without substance and completely ignores the record of the member himself, who also in one of the budget votes misrepresented fact, but that issue will also be taken up. The question is asked, I think the DG has responded to the issue of the verification of documents, and the committee has said it would deal with it. Is the minister satisfied that the department verifies documents sufficiently until new facts arise? Yes, I am satisfied. I think that a panel, as we set up, that does this work, verifies the facts that the documents that are submitted to us, and that's why we are able to provide detailed responses that we do. The responses we have presented here are facts. And naturally, facts are a problem because they stand in the way of a good story. So it's very easy not to like them. They won't allow you to flog the person you want to flog because they tell you the truth. We look at the facts. We submit the documents in the file that we've presented. I think the question of good character has also been elaborated on. We don't know sitting here whether somebody will in future among us be of bad character. For now, we presume one another to be of good character until facts provide otherwise. And there have been many instances we all can relate to them. The public perception that the minister colluded with the Guptas to make it easy for them to obtain early naturalization is completely disputed by the fact. The process was thorough, very, very meticulous. No step was jumped. And I think what the committee should consider are several things. You see, even when people send me messages on social media requesting assistance, I have one response. Send me an email. I'm putting them on record. Send me an email. Because I don't want to take somebody's SMS and go to the department with, there's no record of this issue being brought before me, no record of it being dealt with. And when one day there is a problem that arises, I should be able to say, I asked this person, this applicant, to send an email. I forwarded this email to so-and-so. Actually, the email address I provide is not even mine. It's of an official who works in my office, who deals mainly with these issues, takes them, forwards them without, they do not even process, they don't even do anything. They read the email, send it to this, send it to that branch, send it to that branch, as the DG was saying, so that we know that the process being followed is open. And the reason why I don't do so is also because I don't want, when an email comes from me to the DG, to appear as if, yes, I'm instructing. It has to come from an official junior enough to be known that they are not authorizing anyone to do anything. They're just forwarding a request for assistance that has been presented before us. So I think the first, bear me out and bear the department out that not anybody favored anyone in this regard. Now, the issue would be, even when you look at the concept of early naturalization in this regard, it referred only to one person out of the five. As we say, others have qualified. Three of them had permanent residence for 10 years. One had permanent residence for 5 years, two. But of the two who had permanent residence for 5 years, one had breached had contravened the Immigration Act by being out of the country for more than 90 days. So it was a technical disqualification because had she not been out of the country for more than 90 days, she actually would have qualified. But because they applied as a family, you reject all of them and say to them, reapply in 2017 until, of course, somebody falsified the letter and said something else. The issue of the letter from the church has been clarified. We don't treat, it's not our duty as the department until there is a court order to treat anybody as corrupt. We would be found very, very guilty of dereliction of our responsibility and of expropriating the powers of the court, if we ever did so. The communication between the family and the minister was only when they sent a letter requesting a waiver, and that letter was forwarded to the department. Any further communication, I think the DG has clarified that issue. And until the minister had to write to them once the process had been completed, the minister deliberately doesn't get himself involved in any of these things. It would be wrong to do so. So the process is handled by the department in the best way that the department knows how. The letter from Tlatwayo is under investigation, the DG has said. The department, I believe, did bring documents to prove the family are business people. And at the time that they were applying, as we have said, even as late as 2013, the Premier of the Western Cape, in her capacity as leader of a political party, had asked for funding from them and received it. The Natal Cricket Committee was getting sponsorship through Sahara at the Kingsmead Stadium, Newlands as well, a number of other people. All those people, including Home Affairs, did not know back then what we now know. But what we now know still has to stand the test of scrutiny at the court. And once that happens, we will take the right decision. We are actually not afraid to take the right decisions. We've done so even with regard to the gay bashing priest from the U.S., with regard to Janus Walus, and so on. So we're not afraid to take the right decisions. And so we will revoke the citizenship, if we must, at the time when the courts have expressed themselves. We cannot act as a court of law. We have no such capacity. I think the question of the department vis-a-vis the minister has been clarified. And all other issues, Honorable Chairperson. So I think we can lay the matter here until and unless new facts do arise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think you've responded. I think what is left was especially in the technical field. It is up to us as Parliament to do our job as we concluded last week. And then, Honourable Members, is there any other question that the Minister should answer? Honourable Hussein.
I just wanted to get clarity on one matter, and I'm not sure that the Minister responded to the question. I'm not raising another question, but I just wanted to get a very straightforward answer from him to the question on whether or not there was any interaction or meetings between himself and the Gupta family. But I just needed a yes or no answer.
All right.
He said everything else about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Khalif?
There's not a question to the Minister. It's to verify the information. The Minister and the DG, they said I must go to Google. I went to Google. Prices of shoes of 79 rand checked online.
No.
I took your advice.
It is fine. Order, honourable ministers, have you spoken to the Guptas and you have concluded with them? What have you done with them?
Chair, there are two answers. There are two answers to this question because it's necessary. It's necessary that we be clear about this. One, the minister, I never got asked to facilitate any naturalization. The second answer is, a lot of people, whether by phone, SMS, WhatsApp, social media, ask me for assistance. I refer them to the department. So regardless of any way somebody asks me for assistance with regard to any service rendered by the department, that information, that's why I said, I don't ask you to send me through my email. I ask you to send that request to an email address that doesn't belong to me, so that you take it forward to the department. So there is nobody who receives any special favors. There are many honorable members who have also come to me requesting assistance of one form or the other. I treat them the same. So that nobody says I got any special favor in regard to services of the department.
Honorable members,
I did
want to give you an opportunity, but then you said something else. Lara Puti.
Yeah. No, I really wanted to check. Mm-hmm. If you are a minister or a deputy minister, you are a public a representative. Are you not supposed to speak to other people? Like myself, if I'm a member of parliament. Really, I think that one we want to get clarity. Guptas, whoever. I'm not supposed, or are we not supposed to talk to them as public reps? Because we want clarity on that. Please. Like Zile, all the people, you are not supposed. I'm not supposed to speak to Comrade Zile, whoever. Can we really get an honest answer in that? Because it's like now people are being cornered for things, for meeting with people. We meet so many people, we don't know whether are Guptas or whatever. Then now we must come and hear people, then to be cross-questioned, cross-examined, and all those things. I think it's totally unfair. We want an honest answer in that regard. I thank you.
Yes,
Chair, thank you very much. Today we are behaving, Chair. I must commend you. I just want to check with the Minister because he's back.
So
we have Shambo. Chair, I just want to check with the Minister because I said earlier on, and I can preempt his answer. I said as the FF, we have written a letter to the former Minister. So she didn't reply to us as the FF. And the Minister, I would like to know, because now you are the Minister again, you are not a new Minister, you are a Minister again. And that letter, even if it was not directed to you, because you are not the Minister at the time. And we have given some reasons, which please revoke this a special naturalization. So I want to get a clarity to the minister. Are you going to reply to us? Secondly, Chair, this thing that you are saying, we are waiting for the court to declare these people criminals.
Or not.
Or not. But they are criminals, you know very well. They are very well honest. These Gupta, these foreign people, they are Gupta, they are criminals. Yes. But now, as a politician, please, I'm not talking to you, you're not even a member of this committee, can you believe?
I'm a member of parliament.
Chair, I'm saying minister, let us not play politics. Let us be honest with one another here. Since there are new developments, I don't know, we said you want to protect me, but you're the first one. You're the first one who's laughing. Since, minister, there are new developments all over about this criminal of Gupta's. They are criminal, remain criminal. They're fugitives, some of them now. So don't you think that you must revoke this thing? They're milking the state coffers. Different SOEs. They're issuing illegal mining rights. Friede, one of them, Friede, do you know they take our money that was supposed to, did you? They are taking our money that's supposed to go and empower our people in Free State. So those are not enough reasons, Minister. If in that letter that you wrote to UZFF, if you still want more reasons, we can give you reasons. So I'm asking if you can also reply to our letter, because we feel very strong, Chair, about this matter.
Okay. No. We can't run in circles.
No, Chair.
We can't run in circles because I'm sure you reminded him to answer your question that he did not answer.
Chair, I'm afraid the minister is not giving me.
No. We have not yet given him to respond to give you that.
If he's going to get a chance to respond, then
he's
going to
get it now.
Chair, I completely agree and understand with the minister that there are times that members of the public come to us. It happens to me too. It happens to all of us. So I understand that.
But
the minister doesn't have to put that explanation. I get that.
Yes, he has responded.
I simply asked a very straightforward question.
Yes.
And that gives him an opportunity to deal with this issue of the public perception.
Fine.
That there was a discussion between yourself and members of the Gupta family to assist them and try and short-circuit the process of the naturalization process. There are many people waiting for the same thing. But with the Gupta family, it happened in 1 month. It was a matter of 1 month. So therein lies, well, according to the documents we have, that you have an opportunity. Well, if I'm misleading you must tell me the truth.
Nonetheless,
yes. I'm not lying. And when the minister responds, I asked for a very straightforward, I put a straightforward question to him.
Yeah.
If there's something that you find funny here about this, with great respect, I ask you to please show some respect.
Speak to me.
Yeah, speak to them as well.
Yeah.
The question I put to the minister was very straightforward. Did you have any discussion or meeting with the Gupta family regarding this matter?
Okay.
I get it that there are people, he might have sent him the letter. That's fine. But just give me a straight answer. No, I did not meet with him, or yes, I did. It's as simple as that. Thank you.
He will respond. Because I was waiting to allow him to respond. No, but no, it was delayed. That's why it's pronunciation.
Suffering from listeria.
Honorable Minister. Of course, it's that at the end of the day, we as public representatives, we're not going to give a message to the public that says public representatives are not supposed to speak to people. We speak to people left and right. Board members speak to people left and right. And then, of course, like as we have heard, you may not know the person you are speaking to, how you will turn out in future. Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond, Honorable Mkhalipi, to your letter. I think once it's brought before me, I have not received it yet. Once I've received it, I will respond to it. And you don't revoke a citizenship of somebody who is not a citizen.
Yeah.
There is nothing to revoke. Mr. Ajay Gupta is not a citizen of South Africa. And so there is nothing to revoke there. So, but I will respond to your letter, Honourable Member, and go in detail. And I think we must not pledge selective allegiance to the Constitution. The same Constitution which gives us the right to say what we may want to say also gives others the right to also be presumed innocent until found guilty. So the department can't act. We must not ask the Department of Home Affairs to act arbitrarily. We may have our own views, and there's no doubt about that. We may have our own views. But members of parliament must ensure at all times that we don't ask the department to do things that will be found in court to be unconstitutional and to have acted beyond its mandate and powers. That's why I said earlier, it may be irritating at times, yes, I know, but we beat our time and wait for the courts to pronounce, and then we act. Once the individuals under discussion are found guilty by the court, not of public opinion, but of law, we will then revoke even their permanent residence. Mm. The law says that there is no need to ask the law, to ask whether it's our fancy to say it or to do it or not. It's not. The law says act in the following way, and we will follow the law right to the letter without any fear or favor. Honorable Hussein, I gave you two answers earlier. You probably didn't hear the one because it's a fact you didn't want to listen to. I said to you, I never met the Gupta family to discuss their naturalization. And then I gave you the second answer. Never mind the second answer.
I apologize.
Now, the application for naturalization came in 2013. It was rejected in 2014, and then they submitted an appeal in 2015. So it was not in 1 month. It's a process that took place over 2 years, 2013, 2014, 2015. And at each time, we looked at the facts that were provided. And as I say, you know what becomes a problem here is that you are dealing, the law provides that you deal with this matter technically. It's separate when I apply as an individual than when we apply as a family. Because if one family member doesn't qualify, the rest of us gets rejected. Because if the law says no, anyway, you applied as a family, therefore we will accept these ones who qualify and not the one who doesn't qualify, then people say you are separating a family. So we then took the route that we took. And as I say, you know, it really is a technicality whether the appeal was submitted when, I mean, the application was rejected when, and I joined the Department of Home Affairs in May 2015, because it wasn't my choice that I should come to Home Affairs when there is this issue standing. I arrived at Home Affairs in May 2014. As I arrived, first week, there was a warrant of arrest for me for having, what is this thing? For contempt of court, because my predecessor had not appeared in court, and the warrant of arrest was issued to me. I called the DG and said, hey, China, what was the DG? I'm hardly 1 week in office and I'm already being arrested. What have I done? And the DG explained, and then they were going to take the matter up. Similarly, No, you have to be afraid. I mean, you've disrespected court. But similarly, I arrived, I think it was on the 24th, and on the 25th I was asked to announce the new visa regulation.
Yes.
Then it's not my fault that, you know, it all happened within those 2 days.
Yeah.
But once I am here, I have to deal with the issues on the best advice of the department. You fought me hard and strong over those issues, and I took a firm view on them. It was based on the fact that I can't disown the decisions of my predecessors.
Yes.
So, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we need to move to to either IEC, to IEC and the rest. I want to believe that we have leveled the questions that we wanted to level to the minister. The minister has responded. It is up to yourself. It is up to yourself whether you make peace with the information or you create an enmity with the information and conclude the matter as such. Of course, we'll wait for that verification for the documents as requested. And then thank you, Honorable Minister. The meeting I'm chairing is not that one. Not that one. The meeting I'm chairing is not that one that you have. I'm saying thank you for having come here and then gave us an opportunity to ask questions. And I'm sure now honourable members are better off. And yourself and the department, now you are off. What is left is for us to process the information and make conclusion on this particular matter, as requested by Frolic. And then we will find an opportunity on our own to do that. And of course, is that if it's during the process something arises that we need clarity from the DG or from yourself, you will still be with us, and then surely you will be willing to clarify us to finalize the report that the Honorable Frolic is awaiting. And
with your permission, Chair, can we request the copy of the judgment document Mr. Hussein was reading?
Refer to page 10, eh? Love better.
No, it is fine. So thank you for having done that, Minister, and I think what we just need to appreciate is that sticking to the law is something that we must always encourage the department and the ministry to do. And we as members of parliament, I think we don't have any right to ask the department to do anything unlawful. It can't be correct, it's unconstitutional, it's against the oath we have taken. And therefore is that when the verification has been done, then its report, I think, will be shared with your department and your ministry. And then which probably will seek your comment on the verification before we finalize the particular investigation that we conducted. And I hope that we will be able to lay this particular matter to rest very soon. But thanks again on that particular matter. Honourable members, can we then invite the IEC? Yeah, the IEC, and then the department, I think, will deal with them sometimes next week.
Yeah.
We'll try and create an opportunity for you to
come
and entertain us. Then you may be having a lot of bugs to come back. Then the IEC, can you get ready in 2 minutes' time? And I'm sure we would have loved to give you quite a lot of time, but I'm sure you've seen what has actually killed our time. So, in your report, you will deal with where you had problems. And then speak to also this weekend, and as well as your Concord. Thank you very much.
I gave it to you. Yeah, sure. I was putting space up.
We don't have.
Fire the lawyer.
Manu, what are the man?
I'm sorry.